All right. So, I mean, another reason why we're starting this is sort of the second part. So, it's the type of thing you keep thinking about and you keep working on. And I know I said yesterday that I have a certain trepidation in this area. And it's true. I mean, it's a very the problem is that it's a very the system of halacha is extremely complex and subtle, and it's really not possible to sum it up. I don't think it's possible to really sum it up in a simple way. So it's hard to have to give one thing that I'll say is a key to every single. There's a lot of complexity and subtlety, and in that regard, I don't really consider this a methodology share. I think that's not an appropriate characterization of what I'm doing. Methodology is like an order of operation, like a how to proceed in a certain way, step a guide to getting the svara. There's no one that the complexity and subtlety of halacha is such that you can't really give a key and say this is how to make a svara in any area, in any idea. It's too difficult. Something like that. It doesn't lend itself to that. It's much too complex. I consider it more closely related to like an anatomy class, as opposed to a methodology class. In other words, we're trying to define the body of halacha, and just like to be a good physician, you have to know what the body is. But knowing the body is not the same as the practice of medicine. Obviously, it'll constrain the practice of medicine, and it will guide the practice of medicine. And, you know, you're not going to prescribe a course of treatment relating to an organ that you didn't learn about in anatomy. That'd be an impossibility. But I'm trying to define more the body of halacha, and even in anatomy you can't really sum it up in one sense. I mean, even something like a human body, there are many different types of entities. They have many different types of functions. Some of them are essential to the life. Some of them are accidental. You can't really just give one definition that'll encompass everything. So
it's a prerequisite for sure.
It's a prerequisite. I believe he has to know what type of a thing it is in order to know how to operate within it. But knowing what it is not the same thing as knowing how to operate within it. Right? Like anatomy is an introductory course to medicine, but it's not a lesson on healing. So that's more the way I would characterize the shiur. So I'm not really going to try to go through what, like I was saying yesterday, and give a lot of instances. I'm not really going to try to do that so much now that I think it over, because I'm not trying to give over really a way to answer a problem. I can give you a lot of instances, and that'll be good in particular cases. But it's not really going to be the same. You can't just take the mold and cram every halacha into this mold. It just doesn't work that way. It's much, much too subtle. But I do want to give somewhat of an overview of the system. And like I say, it's very. I have a lot of reservations because I don't claim to have the totality of the system under my thumb. Just gonna try to give you what I think and what I believe is true about the system as a whole. All right. Let me tell you the problem. I think the essential problem that we have to deal with is, like we were saying yesterday, the connection between the philosophical ideas and the ultimate benefits of Torah and the halachic system of mitzvos and ases and los ases. And there's no doubt that the goal is perfection in and Yedias Hashem and the proper way of living, but it's implemented through the system of mitzvos. It's a means to it. But the question, and in that sense, obviously there has to be some character of the ultimate goal in the there has to be some relationship in the mitzvos to that ultimate goal, right? But I think the question that's hard to grapple with is this, that these ideas are really non-physical. The ideas are non-physical, obviously, and the maisa is physical. Activities are physical, actual. The question is, when the Torah is through a mitzvah, is trying to bring an idea forward, bring people to the proper ideas, to what degree does the mitzvah have a truly concrete form? Okay. In other words, does mitzvah have to come down to an absolute concrete form? And anytime you have an absolute concrete form, it'll never be 100% in line with the idea, because they're different sorts, they're different things. I mean, like the Rambam says in the Mora, he says, it's the same thing. I mean, like the Rambam says, the mitzvah sefer, the system of mitzvahs, the Rambam says in the Mora, are geared towards perfection, but in every individual and in every instance, it's not necessarily going to have the effect, right? So obviously, if you say that the mitzvah is the perfection, then you'll have to come out with a very strange type of a system that it'll just be, okay, in this case, you're off the hook because you're not going to get the necessary, you're not going to get the perfection out of this mitzvah in this situation. So obviously the idea of, that's the difference between the pure philosophy and the system of law. Pure philosophy would say, the pure philosophy can't be quantified like that. It'll have to be very, it'll demand very different activities in very different times. But the system of a law is an absolute and has to be followed. So the question is, do you have to, that's what I'm saying, that the halacha ultimately, as a system of law, ultimately has to come down to concrete forms that you can define apart from the philosophy. If you can't define it apart from the philosophy, then that means it doesn't exist in a situation where the person might not have the philosophical benefit. You understand? But then you're really saying, that's really gutting the system of law. Now you're just saying, be perfected, be a philosophically correct person. Right, but what I'm saying is, halacha has to be defined out of that, apart from that philosophical area, and that's why it's going to have to come down to concrete maisa. Right, otherwise it would be otherwise the Torah would just say be good. Right, or like
can you tell you how to be good though?
It would tell you how to be good, but But those activities, are those activities being good? I'll give you an example. There's a well-known Ramban in Kedoshim Tiyu, right? Ramban says that in general, he says, you'll see in Torah that the Torah will give particulars and then say Kedoshim Tiyu. It'll give particulars and say, do the, what do you say, by Yashar, right? Yashar Right, so he says, why is that? Why do you have those two things? Because the mitzvos are particulars. They're particular actions. Right? And he says, a person can do all of the particular actions in a way that he won't get those benefits. A person can keep hilchos nida and kashrus and indulge in whatever is mutter. Right? So he will be mekayim the mitzvos completely. He'll be 100%. He will not be over any isurim. Okay. So, but if you just view the mitzvos as, if you view the end goal of the mitzvah as their asiya, then you could do all the mitzvos, right? And you consider yourself, you'd be considered Mekayim kol Torah kula and not have any of the perfection. So therefore the Torah has to tell you an overall statement, kedoshim tiyu, that these particulars are designed as objectified actions that over the course of history for thousands of years and amongst the masses of people are guidelines and necessary particulars to help a person achieve the higher goal of Kedoshim Tiyu. But Kedoshim Tiyu is not a mitzvah. You understand? See, now we have two things. Now you have there's the particular kiyum of the mitzvah itself, right? Kashrus and Nida, let's say. And you'll be Yotze, you'll be Mekayim those mitzvos, or you won't be over those Yisurim. And you'll have the Kiyum of that Taryag, right? But really, individual activities are guided by a higher general principle. For instance, if a person goes to a doctor for a treatment, right? So the doctor might say, apply this cream. Orally ingest this medicine. Don't stimulate your heart too much, right? That'll be the prescription. Those will be like the mitzvos. This is a mushal. I have to use a mushal. Those will be the mitzvos, right? And the person will be mekayim them, okay? But what are these particulars? Are they just arbitrary particulars? No, they're guided by a knowledge of the body and a knowledge of disease, and they're part of an overall regimen of refuah. But you can't say each particular action itself is refuah. And you really can't even say all of these things are refuah, because a person could do everything the doctor says and say, yeah, I'm going to outsmart the doctor. He didn't say don't do this. He didn't say don't do this. Right? So that's what the Ramban is trying to say, that there are really two levels of activity, I would say. There's the particular activity, which is the completion of the action in its guided form. So doctor says, apply this cream. So there's a way to apply it. You don't just slop it on. You got to smear it on appropriately. You know what I mean? Don't eat this thing. You got to know how to eat it on an empty stomach, eat it with food. There are different ways that it's done. Okay? Those are the particular kiyumim. Okay? But the fact that they're being selected in unison is guided by a higher principle of the overall health of the person. That's why you need a doctor. Because a person can take a medicine and says, oh, well, I know that this medicine worked last time. I'm going to take it this time. Yeah, but you don't know all the side effects. You don't know all of the other things. You have to... medicine is not... the practice of medicine is a systematic of application of particular actions. Okay? And they're geared towards the ultimate kiyum of recovery. So if the Torah would just give the maisim, just give the actions, and not say at the end, be healthy, then you wouldn't understand properly what they're trying to accomplish. They're really ultimately all trying to accomplish a state in the person. Okay. Now, if I went to a doctor, he would prescribe a particular regimen for me, and maybe a slightly different regimen for you. And maybe if I would call him up and say, you know, this is killing my stomach, he'd say, okay, take something else. It's not as good, take something else, and this and that, right? But imagine if a person had to prescribe one treatment for everybody in every door. You understand what I'm trying to say? That would be a very different system of medicine. And I think that's a close analogy. I think that's a close analogy. That, of course, the idea is the treatment of the nefesh, right? It's not my analogy. It's an old analogy, right? Chulia nefesh and the chulia guf. So the goal is the proper treatment of the nefesh, but not of a particular nefesh, of the nefesh of Klal Yisrael, not just a particular door of Dori Doros. So that's going to force you now to have a certain rigidity. Okay? And it's good, huh? Rigidity, stiffness, strictness. Right? And, and it's going to force that certain times it might not be, everybody is not necessarily reaping every benefit in the same way. Right? But otherwise, you just would be left with a general admonition of be healthy, which would leave 99% of the people in the dark. So that forces an emergence of a strict system of action, right, and kiyum. If I was going to the doctor, I'd say it's all one thing. I'm under his care, right? But now it forces particular kiyumim, okay? But of course, the particular kiyumim and the particular actions and activities still are designed for an overall effect. So if a person doesn't realize that the overall effect of nida and kashrus is a certain state of kedusha, right? And he just thinks, well, this maisa is bad, so he could be a manuvel bereshus hadin. But the key to what I'm saying is it's bereshus hadin. It's bereshus hadin, but it's not bereshus haTorah. You understand? No. In terms of din, did you take your medicine? Yes. Did you apply the cream? Yes. Did you do exercise? No. But you never told me don't inject fat into my veins. You never said that. Right? Now, of course, nobody can tell you every single thing to do. Even for an individual, I'd have to basically take over all of your free will. So even for an individual, it's not possible for one person to make every decision for them, right? No, it's the practice of medicine really comes down to the proper selection of the proper mice at the proper time. The selection of the mice at the proper time. One second. So so the person can be bereshus hadin, meaning he did every action that the doctor said to do, and he refrained from every particular the doctor said to refrain from. So he did not deviate one iota from that. But he undermined the goal that all of these actions had, right? Like doctor says, okay, it's okay to eat to eat a certain food, and the guy, he just gorged himself on it. Right? It's like the Rambam says, tashrus with your wife who's not an eater's mother. That doesn't mean that if a person is excessively involved with that, that he's not doing anything that's undermining the regimen. And so it's a, but what I'm trying to stress is the Ramban does not say he violated any isser.
That's not what the
Yisurim are. The Yisurim must be concrete, fixed, hard and fast, right? And apart as a structure from the overall regimen itself. But they are a tremendous benefit to a person who wants to take the who wants to improve himself, right? So, but I think you cannot now go down and say, well, since this is the regimen, and this mice is a particular regimen, it has to have a character of that in it. That would be undermining the whole system in my mind, because now you're saying, it doesn't come down to particulars anymore. Now you're saying you have to make recourse to the philosophy. But the reason why there's a system here is because we don't want everyone to make recourse to philosophy on their own. We want to give guidelines. The Torah wants guidelines. You understand? And particulars. And limits. Yeah. So that's why the Ramban says, after a series of Yisurim, or mitzvos, the Torah will sum it up. And of course, the summary is different for every system. So, by Arayos, right, has a Kedoshim Tiyu. By Mominus, it says Vasisa Yashavato. Right, a guy could technically be Mekayim Dine Mominus, and find a way to undermine the. Right. So for Arayos, the Ramban says it's Kedusha. It's Kedusha to be a Parsh. Yeah, but that's obscuring things, because then you're going then everything is one thing.
So what was,
and that's not objective of Misa.
Right. Aside from that,
so then it could come out like this, that because of an overall, now really what I've given you is two extremes. I've given you a case of like mezuzah, where it's a very simple Misa and the result is fairly, and the objective is fairly clear, right? And then you also have a series of activities that have one greater kiyum, kedoshim or sisa yashivatov. But that's what I was saying before, the complexity and subtlety of Torah is great, and you can have one particular mitzvah that itself is very complex, very compound, and has a lot of details, right? And it's difficult sometimes to unify all of those details. But what I'm saying is there's an overall goal, and that will dictate through that, because of that goal, the mitzvah will set up actions and entities when done in concert will achieve that goal. So, for instance, you could say that by shofar, there's definitely a goal of shofar, of yidia and limud and ideas. But it could be that, according to the Rambam, how is it accomplished? It's accomplished in two parts. There's a mitzvah of shmias kol shofar, and there's a cheftza, right? And the cheftza itself is an object. That it's a certain kind of an object. See, last time we did this topic, I think we basically spent our time on entities. Right? I don't know if anybody remembers, but I think we spent more of our time on entities. But in truth, you have both. You have an entity and an activity. Now, an entity is defined by what it's capable of and what its purpose is. So, if you say that the shofar is an entity of limud, it means that there are requirements in the cheftz of shofar, because The shofar itself is something that you can derive. The shofar itself is something that you can derive a limud from.
And it's different than what you were saying, mitzvos aren't, which is where the philosophy is in the character of the mitzvah. I mean, here, because you're dealing with an educational object, then it's going to have to have...
So the Torah wants a person to have a certain recognition, a certain idea. It could be that it's structured as a mitzvah of shmias kol shofar, but the heftah is not chosen at random. The heftah is chosen because it too is part of the mitzvah, and it will, and it as a heftah will express an idea. You understand? But the mitzvah is a tekias, is a shmias kol shofar, and the reason why the shofar has these requirements is because, since that heftah is part of the mitzvah, now in combination, the mitzvah of shmia and the recognition of this heftah will lay the groundwork for an intelligent person to derive the fact that there are requirements of kufuf and such show that it's an entity that idea should be derived from as well. That will lay down the groundwork. But the blowing of the shofar itself is not... is a ma'isa mitzvah with its strict kiyum. It's a ma'isa mitzvah with a strict kiyum. Now, if a person wants to reap the benefit of this regimen, he'll think into it and he'll look for the ideas. And the halachic structure will clue him in on what those ideas are. The requirements will indicate what the idea is.
Another example of a regiment?
Well, like we were discussing with Yaakov, the fact that a sukkah can be a certain way or can't be a certain way indicates that there's a concept, that there's an idea in the sukkah of a diras arai, even though a guy can make a sukkah show barzo. Right? So that's what I'm saying. You could say shofar is a complex. It's not like mezuzah where it's this one thing. It's not like separate maiseos of each are independent kiyumim, but it's one mitzvah that will contain a lot of different particulars. I mean, I'll tell you. I mean, to me, look, you know, to me, an astounding example is that Rambam that was mentioned yesterday in the Tshuvas of Rambam, where they asked him, well, how come you need Ibul Lishma by Sefer Torah, not by Tefillin, right? So immediately, if someone would have asked me the question, right, you know, you would immediately try to look into what's the idea of Torah, and what's the idea of Lishma, and why it's unless you do it Lishma, you're lacking in what a Torah is. A Torah is an entity of Avas Hashem, and you have to do the activity of Lishma, because Torah is Lishma. You can work out a whole beautiful drasha, right? Until you read the Rambam. The Rambam is like shocking. It's like shocking what that Rambam says. Right? He says what? He says, because Torah has to last a long time. And if the Torah didn't require Ibud Lishma, a person wouldn't be so careful about the way they did Ibud. But since it has to be Lishma, you're very careful about how you do it. And that will result in it lasting a long time. You say, did Reb Chaim meet this Rambam? Well, what's going on over here? Right? So, it's like, now listen, you'll see, this is something that I think is important to realize. You know, whenever somebody's building up a system, they generally have one case that they consider like their ikker, you know? And then you might find somebody else and he has a different ikker. And he'll say, that case, that's an exception, right? Yeah, you have to... I can't prove to you whether this is an exception or whether this is an ikker. But to my mind, the bottom line, the least common denominator is going to be the ikker in a system of law. Because if you can't be yotzei, then you know that if you need it to be yotzei as a minimum, maybe it's not the right way to put it. I mean, saying that let me tell you the way I see it over here. So what is the Ram saying? The Ram is saying like this: that there's an overall goal. There's an overall goal, and there's no doubt the overall goal has to do with the identity of Torah, that the Torah is Eidos Chol Bo'ei Olam, It's a chefza that we discussed it. We discussed this last year. Remember, it's a chefza that should exist. That its existence is proper, and something that has a proper existence has no time limit on its existence. It's an eternal existence, right? And but in order to achieve that ultimate thing, the Torah uses mitzvos as a means. You understand? The mitzvos become particular means of achieving this ultimate goal. The ultimate goal here is that the Torah should exist as an entity of kayama, an entity shall kayama. Right? That's why we mentioned that when the Sefer Torah is missing letters, it's called, it's still a Sefer Torah, but it's pasul. It means to say, it's not a Sefer Torah because it's missing letters. It's a Sefer Torah, it's pasul, it's considered. Why? Because it really should be existing. This, the psul is like an aberration. The psul is a deficiency. It's not just that you don't have the thing; it's a deficiency. Okay, but in order to achieve this goal, it has to be formulated into concrete things. Concrete actions are the way the Torah achieves these goals. So, the concrete, if you want to define things, you have to define how do you achieve lishma? What does lishma mean? What does it mean? Can a guy do a ibud lishma? You have to work out the halachic system of what is considered the activity of ibud lishma. Right? But then to say, but you can't now derive from the fact that there's ibud lishma that means that the idea of lishma is expressing a concept of the Torah itself. You understand? If you take the other approach, you can try to find every maisa is expressing a concept, then the lishma aspect of it doesn't work out. So then the Ramsha said, no, because lishma is an important concept in Torah, and you have to express that concept. You understand? A little bit of a subtlety. The whole reason for the maisa lishma is not for the lishma aspect, but to ensure that the chepza will be existing a long time. You understand? Now, of course,
lasting a long time is part of
what the mitzvah is trying to achieve. It's trying to achieve a certain kind of a chepza. But it could use a maisa that in its own activity has a different outcome. The outcome of the activity of lishma is not kayama. You understand? So the Torah can use as a tool, as a means to the higher. Just like in a more abstract way, nida is not kedusha. You understand what I'm trying to say? Hilchos nida itself is not kedusha. Because the Ramban says a guy could not violate Nida and be a manuvel. And a manuvel is not a kadosh. Right? So, in my mind, it's parallel. The Torah makes a concrete system of Nida, which now has its own kiyum. Right? But that kiyum of Nida is not really what the Torah is after. It's after the effect that whole thing should have on the person. So too by the Sefer Torah. The mitzvah is concretized into ibud lishma, which has its own parameters and its own kiyum, right? But that is not for the aspect of lishma. It's because if you did a lishma, it will fit in with the overall regimen of a chefza shel kayama. Now, a guy could do it lishma and do a terrible job and not be careful. The Rambam is saying it's only lishma because, just like the doctor, just like a doctor would have to prescribe a medicine for everybody, for every generation, he would have to take the regimen that would be the most effective most of the time. right? So here too, the Torah takes lishma because lamaisa, when a person does something lishma, he's going to do it more carefully and better. But it's just a tool to ensure that the Torah exists as a certain entity lidore doros. Now, if a person, over all the generations, that people are going to be writing Sifrei Torah. Now, of course, a person could be mekayim the mitzvah of lishma and do an awful job. Right? And he would be yotze in terms of the mitzvah. But he would be undermining the whole point. Yeah, so why isn't the mitzvah just to make it shel kayama? Apparently, that's not a tzur of a mitzvah. It has to come down to action. Then you're again letting everybody determine what they consider kayama. You understand? Then you're just saying, do the philosophical thing. But that's the idea of system of law, that it has to come down to concrete things. Now, those concrete things are going to be chosen and defined based on the outcome that we're seeking. But they're not the same thing as the outcome that we're seeking.
It's a good question.
Why did the Rambam... I mean, it's an important example, and there's a lot to be derived from that case. Is why didn't the Rambam try to work it out that it's something to do with lishma? Right, I see your question.
Yeah,
I'm not saying that this is a reason to ignore every the activity in defining a mitzvah. I'm saying it's something that's possible. Let's just say that. Let's just say it's something that's possible. Apparently, what moved the Rambam that way is that in terms of kedusha. There's two possibilities. Either it's because tefillin don't have it, and he held it that there shouldn't be a difference in kedusha, like that, or that he held that the idea of lishma doesn't make sense that it would affect the kedusha itself, the kedusha of the ibud. I don't know. I have to think about it. Or he just didn't go for that whole way of thinking. I mean, these are three possibilities. We have to really think this through.
If you like the first one, Ibora. Not
yeah, let me just stress again. When I say I'm giving, it's an anatomy, it means that if you go into an anatomy class and the guy shows you the heart, right, and then he says, this is an organ that pumps blood through the body to supply nutrients and everything else. So you say, oh, so the toe must also be doing something like that. That's a tremendous error. That's obviously... It's a mistake because I'm showing you one part to try to now say every single aspect of Torah is the same. That's exactly what I'm trying to say. It's too complex and subtle for that.
I'm just saying from the get-go when you're showing this body, if I show you there's another mice...
Well, like the Ram says. Like the Ram says in the Mor, he says, why does the Torah pick the Lulav and the Estrog and the Hadassim and the Aravos? Because they're available. They're prevalent. And they last. What? And all the other stuff, that's just the rabbinate. That's just the rabbinate.
It's the four different kind of people, Rabbi.
Well, a lot of Midrashim. But Medrash is different. Medrash is a different idea. That once these are the mitzvos, in my opinion, once these are chosen as the mitzvah, it's good to help somebody get to the benefit that the mitzvah is seeking to associate in their mind the entity with that end goal.
That's
the Midrash? Say it again? You have to choose now. You either have to say the Rambam completely disagrees with Midrash. He thinks they were off the derech, right? No, he says everybody knows they weren't really serious about those things. Right? Doesn't he say that?
Yeah.
Anybody knows that.
Right.
But it means to say that there had to be there was a choice, has to be a choice, right? And that's the mitzvah has to come down to concrete entities. That requires a selection. But since there is, and that's in terms of that's the demands of Maisa Mitzvah. That's the demands of Maisa Mitzvah. But since the Maisa Mitzvah is trying to bring a person to a certain hakara and a certain level, it's a good idea after the fact to bring people, to make associations in people's minds that will help them achieve that ultimate benefit. Right? That's a laudable thing. Okay. Now, there's one very prominent, important feature of halacha that needs to be, I think it needs to be properly defined and constrained. And maybe we can do it. I don't know. Have to think about it. Let's discuss it. Let's discuss it. Yeah. Yeah. And that's what's called halachic. That's what we call halachic reality. Right? Halachic reality. Halachic reality. No, halachic reality.
There's right. Medical reality. Like,
in other words, it would be like a guy goes to the doctor and he follows the regimen, right? And he's sick. And he still is sick. And the doctor says, well, medically speaking, you're well, because you followed the regimen. So I'm very sorry. And according to medical reality, if you follow the proper course of treatment, you will be cured. So I did my job. Yeah, but I'm sick. Yeah, but now we're defining well as having accomplished these. So according to my definition, you are perfectly well. Bill is in the mail. No, it's like the sukkah. I don't feel 100% comfortable with the sukkah, but I don't remember the sugya so well. But no, it's like let's say there's a concept of diras arai, right? So we'll say you have to be in a diras arai, but a guy could build a sukkah like a fortress, right? And we'll say yeah, but according to halachic reality, is arai. It'll be a sukkah that lasts 100 years. But according to halachic reality, it's arai. Right?
Isn't that because of the nature of a system of law?
Time. Now, so if there's a necessity to actually be in a diras arai, in physically arai, so then you shouldn't be yotzei with mechitzas shel barzel. Right, and if it's not really something that you don't really need to be arai, so then just say halacha. But halacha has the ability to define anything as arai. So then don't have any requirements. Just say it's arai. If halacha can define anything the way it wants, then just say, well, the Torah considers a sukkah arai, and then that's it. So it's sort of like you're trying to achieve something, and it would seem it's something in reality. But then we're gonna say that even though you don't have it in reality, we deem you to have it. But I thought the demand was to have it in reality. Now you're just switching the goalpost, right? You're just switching the goalpost. Just saying you need to have it in reality. Oh, but it's not in reality. Yeah, but we call this like it's like in reality. So then call anything like it's in reality. Yeah, like good asik. That would also be a case like that. Halachic reality. Are you in the walls? Halachically, I'm in the walls. Maybe. We have to be very careful where we're applying this. Because sometimes halachic reality just means that that's all the Torah demands. Like by Shechita. It just requires, it doesn't require the Kana and the Vesha to be completely separated. It just requires the character of cut. And Rubo Kukulo, Rove, qualifies it as cut. Right? Not saying that it is severed. If it required it to be severed into two pieces, we're not saying that rove means it's into two pieces, right? Yeah. Halachic reality becomes, just saying, sometimes halachic reality becomes like a remedy for a problem that you can't overcome. So you need this, how do you have it? Sort of when you start trying to define things based on philosophy, and then you find that you're constrained by halachas that don't express the philosophy, so you say, "Well, halachically it has the philosophy. Halachically, it's the philosophy." But then why? But you started out at a very different place than you're winding up. You started out requiring philosophy in the action, and now you're saying, "But the halacha, this is like, for instance, let's say this person needs to have simcha, right?" So you say, drinking yayin is simcha. You need to be happy on Yantif. The Torah says, drink yayin and eat basa. That is simcha. See, yeah, but I'm not really happy. Halachically, you're happy. But was the Torah trying to make me really happy or halachically happy? when you started out a minute ago, it sounded like I had to really be happy. Now you're saying, no, you don't have to really be happy. You just have to be halakhically happy. Okay, so why are these two things? Why are these two things then? If we can just deem you halakhically happy by any which way we want, so leave me alone. Just call me happy. Right. Or loved. Right. These two things have to be touching. Within three tefachim, we call it touching. Right. A lot of things like that. A lot of things like that. We're going to be doing, hopefully, a lot of these areas. And the mechitzos are filled with that kind of thing. No pun intended. In other words, when the halacha is drawing these requirements of arai, not higher than 20 amos, or right, so then isn't it drawing from a real arai?
Right.
So then we have to acknowledge that there is a real arai.
Right, but I don't see why that's any different than, let's take with the example.
The problem is, the legal definition is really not what we're trying to achieve. That's the whole point we're trying to make. We're not trying to achieve a legal definition. We're trying to achieve the greater definition.
But you can't do that in the same way that you can't incorporate the philosophy into the thing, because you're working with the physical medium.
Right. I think you're right. I think you're basically right. I think that we're saying like this, that you don't have to sit in a diras arai.
Right.
Let's say that. Okay, nothing happened? Okay, you don't have to sit in a diras arai. Arai is one of the characteristics that the mitzvah of sukkah should teach. The chefs of sukkah should express certain concepts. The proper fulfillment of the mitzvah of sukkah is to put a person in a certain state where he will reap and glean ideas. Okay? From the activity and the chefza. One of the ideas that he'll glean is that an idea of a binyan arai. Okay, and what it is that we were in the midbar living in rickety shacks. Okay, but the mitzvah isn't to sit in a diras arai. The mitzvah is... All the mitzvah does is it says that the mitzvah demands an activity which will bring to mind these things. You understand?
Or a chefza, whatever.
Or a chefza that will bring to mind these things. So when we say halachic reality, what we're saying is that the kiyum of sukkah is not actually to sit in an actual diras arai. Now, here's the extreme subtlety that I was referring to before. That at the same time that the mitzvah has to become concrete and the asiyah has to become concrete, the goal and the objective are not the concrete action. Okay? The mitzvah becomes concrete, sit in the sukkah. But it's not because there's a kiyum of being in the sukkah per se. You understand? It's not like putting a tourniquet on a wound that itself stops the bleeding. It's not something that is there per se. It's there because it's there to bring, it's an activity that is made concrete to bring to mind certain things. Right. Now, if one of those, so therefore, that when we say you have to sit in a diras arai, but in a halachically defined diras arai, that means to say that the ikkar is not the actual physical yeshiva. If the ikkar were the actual physical yeshiva basukas arai, then you couldn't make up any of these definitions and say this is arai, that's arai. No, it's not. But we're saying that while you have to do the physical maisa is there as a source of ideas and a platform to go into the benefit of the mice. In other words, the physical mice is only there for the benefit of the mice, the benefit that the mice gives you, not for the mice itself. It's for the benefit of the whole activity. It's for the after. It's the benefit that you derive from the activity, not the benefit of the activity itself. If the benefit of the activity were itself, that would mean that there's something good about being in a rickety shack. There's something good about being in a rickety shack, right? So then you can't say, listen, you got to really be in a rickety shack. But, good news, we'll call this rickety. Right? If it were that type of a thing, doctor tells you, you need fresh air. But we'll call this stuffy room fresh air because because the sun shines in. Whatever you're going to say. That if the benefit is the how the mice as a physical act is affecting your goof, then the idea of halachic reality couldn't exist. But here's the key. The benefit is not how the physical act is affecting your goof, but it's how it's affecting your neshama. Okay? You understand? While the act is physical and requires strict halachos that are going to demand the participation of the goof, really the object is not the goof. That would be a doctor of medicine. The object is really the das of the Adam, the yediyas of Adam, his philosophical self. So in that sense, like David's saying, the physical is needed, the physical is only used as a screen or as a prompt. So if the physical were needed for the goof itself, then you'd have to say there's something important about the ricketiness of the shack. Then you could never substitute it. But it's only the idea of the rickety shack that's important. You understand? But it has to be implanted in the physical, because the mice comes down to a physical act. So it's really a physical act that can affect you with the idea of the of arai. Now it's up to halacha to determine. Halacha is its own system now. It's up to halacha to determine how much is necessary to imbue this object with the idea content of the limud of arai.
We deem the parzel is not a mafkia of that.
That's right. So it's a question. Is it the limitations of its structure? As long as it can't be 20 amos, so now I know that there's a limitation on it that brings to mind the concept of arai. You understand? Something along those lines. You got to work everything out. I'm not saying... yeah. Yeah. So the sukkah has a chaloshem arai in the sense of a tool. Just like every object is defined by its totsah, by what it produces, right? The sukkah, now we can call it, define it as a rai, because it's not, if it were defined by its physical product, then we couldn't call it a rai. But since the physical sukkah, really the product of it is das and yediyah, then we can call it a rai, because it does produce a rai, not in actuality of how a rai affects a goof, but it produces the idea of arai. So it really is a tool of yediyah of arai. You understand what I'm saying?
It isn't the dira of the arai, though. I mean, it's the dira that's conducive to thinking about it.
Yes. But as a halachic entity, it's arai. Because every entity, this is what we were discussing more about last time, every entity is defined by its product. That's how we give objects names, by what they do. Right? Now we're saying there's a halachic... Now we're saying that the physical elements in halacha are not like physical elements in the rest of the world. Physical elements in the rest of the world, generally, I mean, there are physical elements like this in the world too. But the physical entity in general as a tool is defined by its physical outcome. So if that were the way we're defining it, then we would have to say arai has a certain physical quality, and that unless it qualifies physically as arai, it won't be arai. But since it's a halachic entity, this physical entity really has an outcome of idea, of a limud, of a tool for limud, So then whatever it's a tool for limud of, that's how we can qualify it halachically. That's how we can call it halachically. So halachically, it's a DRSRI. So now we can come back and say you are sitting in a DRSRI. But it's a halachic DRSRI. That's what I mean by halachic reality. Halachic reality means that the object is not physical for the physicality of it, but for the expressions that can be derived from it. That's its halachic reality. Its physical reality is the substance, right? But and what outcomes those substance produce. But the halachic reality in the physical world. But the halachic reality, right? Like for instance, you have to sit in the tzeil of the sukkah, right? So yeah, but if you build the sukkah in the valley, there's no sunshine. It never shadows. It never gives you shadow. So you could say, okay, but halachically you're in the tail of the sukkah. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? But that doesn't mean you can't say that idea. I think what happens is that that sometimes people take the framework of the question and think that they're answering it with this answer. Now, the framework of the question is you need literal sunshine, literal shade. And you say, well, now there's something that's similar to literal shade, but it's halachic shade. You know what I mean? Trying to like sort of keep the old framework, but say this is halachically we consider you in the physical shade. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like you have to be in physical shade, and you're not. But halacha says you are in the physical shade. But what we're saying is no. There's a concept of shade. There's a concept of tzel, right? And that's the difficulty here to find these concepts. And as an entity that produces this concept of casting shade, it does still exist. I think I can break out. And I think mechitza is that way too. I think mechitza has a lot to do with that. That you don't need if you're going to learn that a mechitza is a physical separation. Then how do you have a giant Tzuras of Pesach and say these two are separate? These two areas are separated. There's nothing physical that's separating these two because there's a wire ahead, right? But if it's to deem a concept, we have to work in these areas. But the point is, I think the difficulties become because if I ask you what a mechitza is. Even a halachic person would say it's a separation of two areas. But separation is taken in a physical sense. And then you say, yeah, but all you have is a wire. It could be 100 feet up, that wire. Tzuras HaPesach can be as high as you want. So how are these two areas separated? A person going underneath it might have no concept that they even exist. Yeah, but halachically they're separated. Right? But that's like... But that's a different idea of separation than you started with. Right.
Has to express it.
Yeah, the mechitza doesn't have to physically separate. It just has to bring to mind or express separation. Right. Like that's like even like chok gimel hashlam. It's possible to even have phenomenal cases that as long as no, as put. I think about the mechitza like this in that there's a certain ideal. Form, and then there's a question of how much in the physical do you need to express that ideal form. You know what I mean? It's an expression of an ideal form. How much in reality, how much physical do you need to express that ideal form? But you don't need that. You never have the ideal form, really. That's a little bit of a side point.
Purely physical requirement without any...
Now, sometimes halachic reality could be a little different. Like, you could learn lovud. You could say, look, no two things to be considered contiguous. They don't have to always be touching in every single spot, so we have to have a standard. Or achila has to have a certain shear, so you need so kazayas is going to be the choice. In other words, that would be like where there's a range, and you have to have one choice, right? So how close is considered touching, or how close is considered you contiguous? You know what I mean? If you get down with a microscope, you'll say there's spaces.
They do all things.
That's what I'm saying. You can't just try to take one idea that I'm saying here and apply it everywhere. Just trying to give you maybe ways, certain aspects of how how the system, I think, works. Yeah. Well, to get to the result, was by sukkah, you wouldn't be able to get to the ultimate result of l'man yedud or seichem and the ideas of chesed Hashem and all these other things, unless you were in a cheftza that could provoke in you the thoughts of a diras arai. But those thoughts of the diras arai are like the building blocks of the philosophical ideas that you're supposed to get to.
You could be darn and diras arai.
Yeah, two steps. Of course.
So there can't be two steps.
There are two steps.
In other words, you're saying that it can't be that arai is outside of, is not in the halakhic structure, because arai, you can only make one step between the halakha, arai, and the flasid. And if arai would be out, and we would only have 20, you have to say that the halakha is 20.
Well, how would you get arai? Arai is necessarily part of the idea that you're supposed to be contemplating. That's an element of the idea. That's an element of the idea. Then just say hold schach over your head, and somehow you're going to get to the idea of living in the midbar. I mean, you're asking me how many elements did the Torah see fit to include to help the person get to the philosophy? Why is arai considered an important element that should be in the sukkah to help the person get to the philosophical idea of sukkah?
Because
why couldn't it leave out arai? Why couldn't it leave out arai, and the person will just get the idea? Will still get the idea? Isn't that what you're asking?
No,
I want to know what it conveys. Yeah, so the character of the sukkah is by what it conveys. Character of a normal building is by what it by its protective function. But the character of sukkah is by what it conveys. So it could be that through restrictions on structure, it conveys ideas. That itself is enough to convey an idea. I mean, there's no limit to this type of a discussion. I mean, because we could just go through every halacha and show how it works. I mean, there's a certain point where it's just like, there's no limit to it. But there is a limit to me. So that's the problem. So I think it's a good place to stop. I mean, the reason why also is very hard to limit, because there are a lot of different areas have to be, this is sort of like an overall guiding idea that I'm trying to think of, but it expresses itself, I think, differently in different areas. It's very hard for me to give you one summary. And I mean, like what's interesting is mitzvahs of achila. I mean, I think it's like there are certain areas, and we didn't really get to the kiyum shebelev. Yeah, you got to take a look at the shiur over here in the rav. It's very, very interesting. I mean, it's, I think, you know, it's a well-known it's one of his well-known innovations. You know, the idea of avelus as a kiyum belev. I mean, because that's the question. Why can't you do avelus on the regel? There's nothing in the regel that says you can't eat. There's nothing in avelus that says you can't eat the basar or drink yayin. There's nothing in the regel that says you have to wear shoes. You know what I mean? So that was the question. Why is regel docha avelus? So he says because it really is a kiyum belev. Simcha and regel and avelus is opposite, and those two kiyum are impossible. But we have to really think. What does that mean? That kiyum? What kiyum is he talking about over there? If you look at it carefully, I'd like to hear what you think. I'm not interested in an uncritical read.